Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Alexis Madrigal. As our friends at KQED Arts are documenting all year long, the Bay Area has a storied hip-hop history from the very roots of the music to this very instant. And we also have a legendary food scene and have for decades. So it's natural, perhaps, that these two core components of Bay culture would find each other. In today's show, our latest edition of the continuing series All You Can Eat with Luke Tsai, we look at the rap game, food game crossover from E-40's packaged burritos to Larry June's boba company. We're talking that hip-hop food hustle that's coming up next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. This is another edition of our continuing collab with the KQED food team. It's called All You Can Eat with Luke Tsai, our brilliant food editor here at the station. And of course, Luke joins this morning. Welcome, Luke.
Thanks so much. I'm excited today.
Today, we are talking rap game, food game crossover. And so we're also joined by KQED food writer Alan Cesaro, whose story, No One Hustles Harder Than the Bay Area's Hip-Hop Food Entrepreneurs, which inspired this show. Welcome, Alan.
Buenos dias, compadre. Good to be on.
So good to have you both back with us. Alan, why don't you set this up a little bit for us? Like, how did you end up writing this story? Was it just kind of noting this trend of all these different hip-hop dudes who were, like, creating these food brands?
Yeah, definitely. So I grew up in the Bay Area, you know, listening to Bay Area rap in the 90s, and my parents are Mexican immigrants, so we were always eating, you know, different kinds of foods in the community. And I just kind of was, over decades, observing this connection between rappers that were becoming successful independently in the Bay and just very creative entrepreneurial food makers. So I kind of just had this question to investigate, you know, and I've also lived in other parts of the country, I want to mention. And it's just something that I felt wasn't happening in other cities that I had lived in my adulthood. So when I came back to the Bay, and I was just wondering, why do so many rappers have so many food connections in the Bay? Like right now, I'm looking, just by coincidence, on my desk, I have a Wrap Snacks ramen noodles, prime ramen E40 food on my desk. Like, just, it's just sitting there, right? So why is that? Yeah. So I started investigating that history, and I kind of came to understood this idea of the Bay Area's sort of entrepreneurial spirit, and that the art of calculated hustle coming from the rap game, you know, starting with Too Short in the late 80s, who was largely credited with being one of the first independent rappers to kind of just start selling his music out of the car. You have E-40 himself, who I already mentioned, started one of the first record labels with just his family members in the late 80s. And these guys went on to sell, you know, tequila, wine, burritos, ice cream, lumpia, beer. He even owned a Fat Burger franchise decades ago, right? So there's definitely some deep connection there between food and rap. And more importantly, just entrepreneurial, making something out of nothing, serving goodness to people, right? Whether through slang or recipes. So that's the origin of this story.
Do you think it also has to do, like, with many of the other creative folks I know, you know, they have like five different hustles so that they can make it and actually pay the rent in this area?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, dude. Right. So there's a lot of factors. Like you said, we have one of the highest, most expensive places to live in the United States. Right. So paying rent is not just, you know, I sold one song and now I'm coasting for the month. It's I sold an album over here. I'm doing a show. And then I'm doing a food pop-up on the side to sort of increase revenue streams. So that's definitely part of it. But I also think just the creativity of Bay Area people and that sort of that desire to express yourself in a fully dimensional way, right? There's a lot of cultural latitude in the Bay. You got all these people mixing together, hyping each other up, You know, E-40 sells lumpia, and one of the folks that he grew up with is a Filipino rapper named Numb, who was his sound engineer during the hyphy movement, right? So they're exchanging game, they're sharing recipes, they're inviting each other to different events, to each other's houses. And we just have like this beautiful mixture here that I think allows us to feel confident to do things like this that, again, I've lived in the Deep South, a beautiful place, but you don't have rappers selling Mexican food out there, right? Why? Because I can tell you as a Mexican American, there weren't many of us out there. So I think it's that mixture of it all.
Yeah. We had Numb on recently, one of the all-time performances in KQED.
He's a legend. He's a legend
history.
For sure.
Luke, I want to talk with you a little bit about how you, obviously you were the editor on this story. Do you see this kind of hustle mentality that exists in hip hop? You see a lot of this in the kinds of food establishments you like to cover.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and I think, you know, Alan's story was amazing, you know, in sort of laying out these connections. And I think, you know, a lot of the food businesses that he talks about were sort of more in the kind of underground or under the radar territory, you know, like perhaps their pop-ups or their brands that if you're like a rap fan, you might know about, but might not be fully well known kind of in the mainstream. But I feel like this connection between Bay Area, like the Bay Area rap scene and food, actually, you know, over the years, I've noticed this too. It actually encompasses like some of the biggest names in the Bay Area food game, you know, just to give an example, you know, Senor Sisig. We all love Senor Sisig, right? Probably the most popular food truck in the Bay Area, doing kind of their take on Filipino burritos and things of that nature. One of their co-owners, Evan Cadera, came out of the rap scene, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, all the way up into like the fine dining realm, you know, like one of my favorite examples is Chef Tommy Cleary of Hina Yakitori. He's this high-end yakitori restaurant in San Francisco. He had a whole first career as a producer and DJ for the rapper Kool Keith. You know, and then I think what's interesting is like in the music industry, a lot of people wind up going into the restaurant industry, you know,
yeah, totally.
particularly as they kind of like age out as performers. And I remember years ago when I reviewed Hina Yakitori talking to Tommy, and he talked about how there's this sort of connection between live music, doing live music and working as a chef, you know, kind of like all of the prep, all of the sort of emotionally gearing up for this performance, for this show, this live set, you know, that in the case of a restaurant starts at, you know, 5:45 p.m. you know, or whatever it is, but the perfectionism of it, the focus on timing, the performative aspect, I think that it just goes very well together. So I don't think it's surprising in that sense that you see all of these connections.
Let's bring in our first food entrepreneur and rapper, Don Toriano, rapper and owner of Vegan Mob. Welcome.
Hey, what up, fam? How you doing?
Hey, we're doing well. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. So, you know, what made you start Vegan Mob?
Oh man, I was actually in grad school, so I was doing something different than what I usually do. My whole career, basically, like from my first album came out when I was 17, it was called Young Note, Taking It to the Next, which was like a Frisco classic. That came out when I was going to McAteer High School, which is no longer. And I went in a life of streets and crime and addiction. And so when I got my life together, I just put my head down in my 30s and just went to school. And I ended up in grad school to become a psychologist. And I just did some soul searching. I was like, this ain't for me. And I was like, what do I want to do? And I was like, I want to do something with music, food, and social media. So I wanted to do a barbecue spot, but I was vegan. And my wife was like, we shouldn't do no barbecue spot if you vegan. And she was like,
I mean, not, you know, solid advice sounds to me, you know, but you did it anyway.
Right. And so she was like, what about vegan barbecue? And I was like, whoa. And that's it. That's what made me do it is I just love food. My first loves are music and food. And I became vegan and I always wanted to open a barbecue spot. So that's how Vegan Mob was created.
Wow. How has it gone? How has it worked? I mean, I see it all. I mean, I live close by and, you know, I know it's doing well. But like, talk to me about how it's gone, particularly during these years, which has been really tough.
Man. Restaurants. Well, in 2020, 2019 is when we opened October. So it was, I was only open for a couple months, you know, of 2019. But in 2020, we went bananas. Everything closed. I was it was just crazy, like lines down the block. And one day they called off the shutdown. So they were like, everybody got to be in at 7 p.m. And my number just dropped and my heart dropped too. Right. Oh. And so I basically just transitioned and I started to do like a bunch of deliveries. And after I did that, my sales just went crazy. I couldn't even handle the sales. So I had to stop deliveries basically. And then the line was just bananas. And that year I went into the Food and Wine magazine. I had a number of articles. I believe you guys might have did one. I had I was on like two page front row pages, Chronicle, East Bay Express, one talking about actually rappers in the food game. And yeah, in 2021, I got best vegan restaurant in the Bay Area. I got best vegan soul food in the country. And I was actually runner up food truck to Evan Cadera, who is my mentor and my boy for over 20 years. I mean, I've been knowing Evan since we were teenagers. I used to go to his house and make music. And I'm one of the ones who mentored him in the music game. And so he turned around and said, look, you were a legend back then. You looked out for me. You were always humble. He was like, so whatever you want, I got you. So Evan Cadera is actually one of my mentors and who helped me get into the building and sold me my food truck.
Oh, that's amazing.
So shout out to Evan. Shout out Senior CC.
We are talking about the Bay Area rap game, food game crossover. This is another of our continuing series, All You Can Eat, with KQED food editor Luke Tsai. Also joined by Alan Cesaro this morning, food reporter at KQED, also a poet and educator. And we got Don Toriano, who you just heard, rapper and owner of Vegan Mobs, with us for the hour as well. We're going to hear a little bit of your music, the song you made for Vegan Mob. And we would love to hear from you, all of our listeners. What's your favorite rap lyric about food? You can give us a call. The number is 866-733-6786. We're also talking about hustle here. So what restaurant, pop-up, or food truck do you think most embodies that Bay Area hustle or kind of has the spirit of hip-hop? The number is 866-733-6786. Email forum at kqed.org, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or KQED Forum. This is Don Toriano, Vegan Mob. From Menlo Park to the V-Town, from the SFC to the V-Town, to right where I be in the Motown. Welcome to the Vegan Mob. Welcome to the Vegan Mob. Welcome to the Vegan Mob. Welcome to the Vegan Mob.
Support for Forum is sponsored by Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts program. Have you found yourself reflecting on your life and education? Perhaps you think it's too late or you're too busy to earn a master's degree. Stanford's part-time MLA program is designed for anyone, from recent college grads to retirees, who'd like to pursue an interdisciplinary course of study in the liberal arts. MLA students also enjoy access to the world-class facilities on the Stanford campus. Information session held May 16th. Learn more at mla.stanford.edu.
Welcome back to Forum. This is a special edition of All You Can Eat with KQED food editor Luke Tsai. We're talking about the Bay Area rap game food game crossover, joined by Luke Tsai, of course. Alan Cesaro, food reporter with KQED, whose story inspired this show. Also joined by Don Toriano, rapper, owner of Vegan Mob. And you just heard a little bit of Super Sequidit, which features Droopy. Welcome, Droopy.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, Droopy is E40's son, also works with E40 on their food company, Goon with a Spoon. One of the things I was noting is Goon with a Spoon seems to be doing a lot of things. Could you just give us, you know, the highlights so that people kind of know what we're dealing with?
Oh, sure. So right now we have Goon with the Spoon sausage line. It's a crazy variety of great sausages. We got the Philly cheesesteak flavor. We have, I'll tell you right now, we got the Philly cheesesteak, mild beef, the hot beef, teriyaki pineapple. It's fully cooked sausages. Mm-hmm. Made with all quality ingredients. And then we also have the Goon with the Spoon ice cream, which is going crazy. And then we have the Goon with the Spoon turf burritos, the variety pack. So yeah, he's definitely, we're definitely expanding. It's been a long time in the making, but it's coming together now.
That's fun. I mean, I'm interested in the kind of crossover of the actual kind of like operations and business of like selling music, selling merch, and then selling food. Like, do you find that there's a lot that's the same, or is it like totally different?
That's a great question. From what I've seen, it is the same, but it's totally different as far as the information, the process. But you know, basically, we're 100% black owned. E40 owns it 100%, so he's all in. He's, you know, from the production to the packaging, the flavors, of course, and the marketing as well. So, in that regard, I would say that the music industry is very similar to the food industry, as far as just like, you know, your connections, your friendships, your vision. And basically having to be all in. It's not just, you know, you push a button and walk away. It's an everyday thing.
You know, does some of the success of the different food brands have to do with, I mean, I don't want to call your dad like a platform, but if you've got 2 million followers on Instagram, you kind of can vertically integrate your influencer operation. Like, rather than take someone's money to advertise their ice cream, you sell your own ice cream, which then you post about. Is that how you all have seen it, is kind of social media is kind of this connective tissue between the different businesses?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And especially with E40, because he's fully involved with his social media way more than I am. And I'm 20 years younger than him, but he's every day, like he's a machine, and he connects with his fans and his supporters personally every single day. So I do believe that, you know, when he stamps something, when he puts a product out there, you know, it translates. It does translate. And since he's all in with it, once he presents a product, I think people get the gist that like, oh, okay, this is from him. This isn't just him putting his name on something. He's all in. So he'll show footage of the ice cream being made. He'll show footage of the sausages being packaged as well. Like, so I do believe that social media plays a big factor in that.
Yeah. We are talking about rap game, food game crossover. We would love to hear from you. What's your favorite rap lyric about food? The phone number is 866-733-6786. We're also interested in hearing what restaurant, pop-up, or food truck you think most embodies this kind of Bay Area hustle that we've been talking about. The number is 866-733-6786. The email is forum@kqed.org. And you know the social media stuff. It's KQED Forum. Let's bring in a call here. We got Kaba in Oakland. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, this is Kaba Conte from Red Bay Coffee. I'm the founder. I founded Red Bay Coffee about 9 years ago. But back in the 90s, you know, I was E40's photographer, Master P's photographer, and, you know, probably got 100 albums to my credit. what was really special about the Bay Area in that time, that mid-90s golden era, was that there were no major labels here, right? So that's where that hustle came from. And, you know, there was a whole industry of graphic artists, T-shirt printers, you know, the magazine producers, the rappers, the producers, you know, it was way bigger than just the artists, right? It was the entire industry. And, you know, and I learned a lot from these guys. You know, at the time I was a photographer, so, you know, I'd have a photo shoot, you know, earn a check, have a photo shoot, earn a check. And what I learned, you know, from them, but just besides the hustle and grit, is that if you can have a product that can, you know, sell units, you know, while you're sleeping or, you know, or just building a team. so we've kind of taken that. Of course, we did little pop-ups here and there and try to solve some of the same business problems with some of the same kind of creative hustle solutions, whether that is, you know, doing little coffee pop-ups here or there, and then, you know, and now we have a coffee van, you know, and we do different things like that. And now, you know, it's a beautiful thing to see these cats coming into the food industry, bringing their gifts, and their business acumen to it. And it's a sort of a second chapter, you know, for a lot of these cats' lives as well.
Yeah. You know, Kaba, your coffee brand has gotten extremely popular. And one of the things that is fascinating to me is in what you've been saying is it feels like you had to kind of do everything start to finish, like because there weren't these major labels, right? You had to do every single facet of it, which means you kind of learn business from the ground up.
Yes, for, you know, and for me, you know, in the coffee piece, I had to learn for a slightly different reason, right? Because there were, you know, major coffee companies here. There was a ton, you know, for people who don't know, the Bay Area is probably one of the most leading specialty coffee destinations and most competitive scenes on the planet, arguably. However, you know, I was really inspired to create a coffee brand that valued and put forward inclusion, diversity, bringing, you know, black and brown people in the industry at high levels, which is kind of where the coffee comes from, right? Coffee comes from Africa. Coffee is Africa's gift to the world. And but you didn't really see that reflected in the specialty coffee scene. So when I was trying to build a team of black and brown coffee professionals and they didn't exist, we would have to go to adjacent industries like wine and bartenders and chocolate and chefs who had those, you know, those nuanced skills and tastes and developed palates. You know, so and then, of course, we tap into, you know, part of our mission is a second chance employer. You know, so we would hire formerly incarcerated cats, you know, youth coming out of foster youth, foster homes, and then that whole piece of it. So the mission was also about, you know, what I saw in this community, because the hip hop industry in the 90s gave a lot of cats an opportunity to get out of crime, right? To take some of that money is a startup capital and to do some amazing things, you know, and I love seeing that, right? Cats sort of taking some of that their earnings and turning it into a legitimate business.
Yeah. Hey, Kaba, thank you so much for this call. This is like a dream call on a show like this. I really appreciate you taking some time out from running Red Bay Coffee to give us a call. Thank you so much. Don Toriano, I know that you have also been involved in trying to kind of mentor people as you were mentored, kind of building out this whole kind of tree of people who know the food industry or the beverage industry. How has that gone, kind of bringing people up with you?
Man, I mean, you know, for whoever listens, I mean, it's going good. And it's really my passion and what I'm here to do. one of the reasons I'm in this game and one of the reasons I'm here is because I had septic shock back in almost 14 years ago. And I came back to life vitals dropped and I came back and, you know, and one of my one of my purposes, I believe, is to help others and to look out for people who look at me, because like I said before, I was in the streets and I didn't have a big brother. My dad was in prison for 27 years. He just popped out. And so one dad's a gangster and the other dad was a pimp. And so I didn't have nobody to really give me game like I have. I had to learn it on my own. And so one of my purposes is to look out for people who are like me and look like me. And so anytime that anybody asks, I can make money off of mentoring people, but I much rather just give it to them because I'm just paying it forward. And shout out to Kaba. He's given me some game in 2 to 3 hours that's probably going to change my life forever. So, you know, you give out and you get back what you give out. And so, I mean, it's what I love to do.
Yeah. Hey, Droopy, I feel like your family and the businesses that you all have created are trying to be a similar kind of infrastructure to kind of help bring a lot of people along for the ride. What have you learned about trying to get that established and how it works?
As far as, I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Oh, yeah, just bringing people along with you as you build these businesses.
Oh, well. Well, to be completely honest and frank, my father is a workaholic, so everybody that's a part of the business plays a vital part. But he's like he pretty much runs everything. At the end of the day, I'm just gonna be flat out. So we don't really have a lot of people that's just kind of around, you know. And even with me, even my position, I don't have a solid position. It's just like our music. When I was doing music with them, well, we're still doing music now, right? But yeah, we put out 20 albums between 2010 and 2020, and when we did that, it was a staff of probably about 5 people, maybe. Wow. The engineer, myself, my pops, and then the mixing engineer, and then you know, Cousin Feek or whatever other writers were in the studio at the time helping with choruses. But it's the same thing with his food products. We're all in, and you know, it's like it is a family business as far as like whatever we need to do, we're gonna do it. There's no egos involved. But yeah, like I just see that hands-on approach more than anything. Just making sure that you know, it's his vision coming through, and it's not somebody else kind of telling him what to do.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think takes more energy now for the family biz, the music side of it or the food side of it?
The food side of it, because the music is our love, and it's my pop's first love. So that's his therapy. When we're in the studio, that's like, it's not really work. It's like, that's what he loves to do. He loves to write lyrics. He loves to make songs. He loves to collaborate. And then of course, we have a love for food too. So this is fun, but it's hard work, but it's been a fun experience just like learning as we go and seeing these thoughts and ideas come to fruition.
Yeah. Oh, man. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Droopy. Rapper, producer, works with E40's food company, Goon with a Spoon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Let's bring in another caller here. Jessica in Oakland. Welcome.
Hi, I am a part of the Bay Area Bike Set, and there's a bunch of MCs that promote multiple independent and vendor businesses. There's Turnip, there's Dry Snacks, and one of my friends has actually, with their support, been able to have her catering business be something that she can actually support her 3 children with, and she goes to multiple different vendor spots around. On Wednesdays, there's bike night. On Thursdays, she's at a bar in Hayward, and she would never have been able to fully get her name out there in the way that she has without the support of these different MCs promoting her around the Bay Area. And so yours truly, Kitchen and Catering, has been able to, you know, go on a boom over the last year and be what she solely does, instead of having to do the side hustles of working at this restaurant as a chef or working at this restaurant. She's able to follow her passion and do her own thing.
Oh man. What is the name of it? You gotta shout it out.
Yours truly, Kitchen and Catering by Dave Williams.
Yours truly, Kitchen and Catering. Thank you so much for that call, Jessica. Reminder to folks that we're taking calls on which restaurant, pop-up, or food truck kind of most embodies this Bay Area hustle that we see in the rap game and we also see in the food game. We also are getting some funny responses in about your favorite rap lyrics about food. There's one amazing Action Bronson lyric about fennel pollen, but I actually realize I cannot say even any of it on the radio, so I'm not going to do that. The number to call is 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can email your questions or comments to forum at kqed.org. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, we're KQED Forum. Alan, as you're listening to people kind of talking about the way that they've built their businesses, can you tell us about some of the other folks that we don't have on? Like, I'm very curious about Larry June's boba company and why it's not a smoothie company.
Yeah, no, that's a good one, man. Real quick, I just want to thank the callers and our guests for just being real and sharing their personal journeys. And that's one of the reasons I love rap so much, is just because people are, it's like listening to a book, right? And just learning about people's lives and experiences, their mistakes, their successes. And that's what's called, you know, the game, and picking up on that stuff and learning and growing. And that's ultimately, to me, what rap culture and hip hop is all about. So I just love that that's really coming through in these conversations. But yeah, you got people going back to the 90s. Pam the Funkstress, rest in peace, was a DJ for The Coup. She had a soul food catering business back in the day. Selsky, who's a San Francisco rapper, currently runs a burger pop-up, Big Mafia Burgers. He even had an album called Canadian Bacon and Hash Browns. You know, you mentioned Larry June, right? Arguably the most popular rapper right now from San Francisco. Heavily reps the 415. Constantly talks about organic living, smoothies, healthy lifestyles, right? He has this addiction to oranges that he's always talking about oranges and using orange emojis on social media. And he co-owns a boba shop in the Dog Patch, Honey Bear. And again, it's just an example of those quirky intersections of and sort of that weird multidimensionality of the Bay Area hip hop and creative universe, where you have the most popular rapper arguably right now from the Bay, and he owns a boba shop, right? Like, how weird is that? That's not common. And then you got, you know, Don Toriano, obviously, who's with us. Burner, Mexican-American rapper, launched Cookies, one of the largest cannabis brands, but they also do collaborations with burger spots and other rappers that are just selling all sorts of things, right?
Yeah. This is Forum, our latest edition of All You Can Eat with KQED food editor Luke Tsai. Also joined by Alan Cesaro, food reporter at KQED and a poet and educator, and Don Toriano, a rapper and owner of Vegan Mob. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for more Forum right after the break.
Support for Forum is sponsored by Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts program. Have you found yourself reflecting on your life and education? Perhaps you think it's too late or you're too busy to earn a master's degree. Stanford's part-time MLA program is designed for anyone, from recent college grads to retirees who'd like to pursue an interdisciplinary course of study in the liberal arts. MLA students also enjoy access to the world-class facilities on the Stanford campus. Information session held May 16th. Learn more at mla.stanford.edu.
Welcome back to Forum. This is our latest edition of All You Can Eat with Luke Tsai, our food editor here at KQED, joined by Alan Cesaro, food reporter at KQED, Don Toriano, rapper and owner of Vegan Mob. Earlier, we were joined by Droop E., rapper, producer, and works with his father, E-40's food company, Goon with a Spoon. And we're just playing on Clyde Carson, Oakland rapper and co-owner of Hyphy Juice. Welcome, Clyde.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Hey, there you are. Hey, Clyde. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Why don't you tell us what Hyphy Juice is?
Hyphy Juice is an energy drink. It's an energy drink. That's what Hyphy Juice is.
And what? And what's in it?
Well, the ingredients are taurine, the same. It's equivalent to a Monster or a Red Bull.
Yeah.
It was started back in 2005 from actually looking at Crunk Juice and Pimp Juice, who was actually started by two rappers, one from Little John, a producer, of course.
Yeah.
And Nelly as well had Pimp Juice. So, you know, me and my business partner started Hyphy Juice. And we thought that was, this was at the time, of course, in 2005, at the peak of the Hyphy movement. So, yeah, it's an energy drink, though.
And did you come out of the Hyphy world just as a fan and appreciator, or were you also, like, making music?
I was making music. I started rapping in 2000, 2001. And at the time, the prominent artists were Too Short and E-40, but we didn't really have... of course, there's a rich history of Bay Area hip hop on a national scene. But at that time, we weren't really having a lot of exposure. So the Hyphy movement was something to show people the part of California that was always overlooked.
And at this point, as you noted, you know, Hyphy as a movement, you know, it continues to reverberate and it's an incredible legacy for the Bay Area's music scene. Has Hyphy Juice been able to sort of maintain its kind of brand awareness and keep working as a food business, even as hip hop here has kind of diversified?
Yeah, well, it's hip hop is always, of course, evolving. And we've just maintained our, you know, we've been in different, as far as like stores, 7-Eleven, and been in major stores, but we started at Booker's in East Oakland. We started right there in the streets where the Hyphy movement started. And we've maintained just being in those elements. We've maintained being in the streets as far as the liquor stores. And it's a niche. It's almost like a niche product to where it's we've been around for, I mean, it's almost 20 years, going on 18 years, you know? But we've been consistent. We've come out with sodas, but we've continually been selling the Grapple and the other flavors since we started, you know?
Yeah. Alan, in your, you know, travels around Bay Area hip hop scene and other worlds, I mean, what role have you seen Hyphy Juice play?
I'm so glad you asked, Alexis. Clyde is a legend, by the way. The team, when I was growing up, that was like they were just putting out house party anthems back then. So shout out on the team and Clyde.
Thank you.
So I was actually telling my wife, who grew up in Hayward, you know, oh, I'm going to talk about Hyphy Juice tomorrow. And she's like, that's the only energy drink I ever drank in my life. And she's a Bay Area person through and through, right? So if you grew up in the Bay at a certain time and place, you know that Hyphy Juice is just an iconic beverage, right? Like, I crossed the liquor store. I live out here in the Richmond Hilltop. Hyphy Juice is one of the first things you see in the cooler, right? So I feel like Clyde's saying, it's kind of like a street drink, right? Like if you know, you know, you know, Grapple, classic flavor, used to mix into High Speed, which is a classic Bay Area drink. You had birthday cakes, flavored soda. So again, going back to that sort of quirky, innovative Bay Area rappers thinking out of the box and just doing something different and switching it up and remixing what's been done. To me, that's Hyphy Juice, right? And then, you know, the team also had the song Hyphy Juice in 2005, which again was just the party anthem. And it just represented that energetic, upbeat togetherness that I think the Hyphy movement overall encompassed.
Yeah. Like I said before, he used to look at California and say L.A. And you know, by me living in New York, you know, the producers out there were like, yo, we can't wait to make some music. We're going to have the Lowriders and we're going to have this in the video. And I have to remind people, yeah, listen, I've never seen that in my life. I'm from Oakland. Like, you know, this is a completely different world out where I'm from. So we wanted to represent that. And yeah, Hyphy Juice is still, you know, still going. And we got even more things coming. So,
yeah. Have you thought about expanding into other other realms? I mean, either using, you know, Hyphy as a brand or in other ways?
We thought about it, and sometimes you can push yourself to, you know, like, let's say, you know, having Hyphy Juice in Atlanta and New York and all these other places, that's a goal, of course, of any company. But at the same time, I think longevity is more important. And I would prefer to be just in the Bay Area in Northern California than and be and thriving and be maintaining, opposed to shooting off all your, you know, trying to be everywhere and not maintaining. So,
yeah. That's a good point. You know, Don Toriano, owner of Vegan Mob, how do you think about this? Because, you know, you were saying earlier during the pandemic, just got so popular and the deliveries. And how do you not kind of burn yourself out or expand too fast or you know, so what are your plans now going forward, you know, exactly so that, you know, in 18 years, you'll be like, yeah, there's Vegan Mob still here.
No, I feel what Clyde is saying, because we grew super fast, and to the point where I couldn't even take the business was just so much, so I had to expand. But with expanding, it caused some problems. And so like, definitely, like, you know, slow and steady, you know what I'm saying, to keep the fatty is the way to go. And right now, my plan right now is we're, I don't know if you guys have are watching the Instagram, but we have our gumbo in stores right now. And so my next move is the CPG model, which is getting things into the stores. And I got some stuff coming up. I'm not going to say too much because, you know what I'm saying, I'm not trying to leak too much game right now. But
have to stay tuned to the Instagram. Yeah.
You're going to see what's happening. I'm going to announce it. I'm going to throw it out there. But now I felt that, you know what I'm saying? It's not about spreading yourself thin to where you can't win. It's about making sure you stay on top of your P's and Q's so you can keep going on. So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. Let's bring in another caller. We got Brandon in San Mateo. Hey, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Alexis.
Yeah, go ahead. What's your story?
Yeah, so I love this program. Everything I've been hearing on my drive to work has been just amazing. And I just can't help but think about how similar just music and food are, whereas they both offer a completely blank slate for someone to create something completely new or create something similar yet unique for each individual, and then share that with, you know, if they want to, their close friends, or if they have the desire to, share it with, like, the world at large. And also about how both food and music, you know, have subtle influences and also serve as, you know, allegory for larger issues. And that kind of sums up this, like, fascination I have with food-related songs in a playlist I have called Edible Arrangements, where you have songs like Apple Pie a la Mode from Destiny's Child, Brown Sugar from D'Angelo, Lollipop from Lil Wayne, Laffy Taffy from D4L, and just kind of how that these two worlds, which initially might seem dissimilar, are actually more similar than you think.
That's interesting.
You know, shout out to 40 and Droopy for making some hella good sausage.
Hey, thank you, Brandon. Appreciate that. I mean, why don't we go around the horn here? Clyde Carson, do you have a favorite food-related lyric or song?
Oh, man, you put me on the spot. Favorite food-related lyric? My mind is going blank right now.
I'll give you a second to think. A couple listeners have tweeted things in. One listener tweets their favorite food-related album is Food by MF Doom. Scott writes in to say, I mean, there isn't a more iconic rap verse about food than in Rapper's Delight. The macaroni's soggy, the peas are mushed, and the chicken tastes like wood. When was the last time you heard a hip-hop song that invokes K.O. Pectate?
That's right. Mac Dre hibachi pork on my fork or something.
Don Toriano, how about you?
Throw the hoe, unit and damn gumbo pot. Throw the hoe, damn unit and damn gumbo pot. 40, man. 40 water, 40 water.
That's funny. Yeah. Luke or Alan, do you have you want to chip in on this one?
I have a cheat code because I was thinking about it in advance, but I was just thinking of different rap slang in general that involves food. You got cheese, bread, lettuce, gouda, Canadian bacon, beef, noodles, grapes, panini, feta. E40 is responsible for like 90% of that. And that's used universally in hip hop, right? This is not just a Northern California thing anymore. But my specific lyric is, I got to shout out Nicotina. Andre Nicotina, he said, like Canadian bacon, I'm making a way for me to get on every plate in every state. And just kind of making moves and getting around.
That's fun.
I'm going to date myself as an East Coast transplant of a certain age. But of course, there's Tribe Called Quest with I never half step because I'm not a half stepper. Drink a lot of soda, so they call me Dr. Pepper. Classic. Yeah. And then, of course, there's, you know, wouldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight. It's another one that I always think of.
Yes, yeah.
That's very funny. We are talking about the rap game meeting the food game. This is part of our All You Can Eat series. We've got Luke Tsai, KQED food editor and rapper, as you just heard. Alan Cesaro, food reporter at KQED, poet and educator. Don Toriano, rapper and the owner of Vegan Mob. And Clyde Carson, Oakland rapper, co-owner of Hyphy Juice. Earlier, we were joined by Droop E. You know, I wanted to give you a chance to maybe shout out some of the people coming up. I feel like it's such a part of your work to kind of be bringing people up. So who are people you've got your eye on as doing interesting things in the food scene?
Right now, you shout out my boy KG. He has Properly Seasoned catering. He's out of San Francisco, Hunters Point area, and we were all in the streets together, and we did music together. And what else, man? It's a lot of, you know, most of my, I'm actually the one that was the rookie in the game, and so I'm really trying to figure out who I could think of. Well, you know, I want to give a shout out to Skelski, even though he's my big bro, he's the OG, but he's a pop up. But I know he going crazy. Selsky, me and Selsky used to go to sandwich shops. Selsky is a real food connoisseur, man. Mm-hmm. When I was a young teenager, me and Sel used to drive around San Francisco and go to the sandwich shops all the time. Shout out to my boy Juice and Chosen from the Mission District, 24th Street Mission to be exact, fishing in the Mission. Check them out. Me and Juice, I used to be at Juice House cooking all the time in and we used to cook together and do cookouts, and I guess I inspired my brother, and now he's killing it, and they're doing pop-ups everywhere all over San Francisco, and they're fishing in the Mission. Check them out.
Yeah, fishing in the Mission. Clyde Carson, do you want to shout out anybody who you feel like is doing really interesting kind of food work in this rapper food crossover?
I mean, I know it might sound, honestly, Vegan Mob, even though we're on the line together, I mean, that's something that's just becoming a staple in Oakland. And I feel like it was another vegan spot off Fruitvale. But right now, I don't know anybody to shout out. Like I said, I'm drawing a blank as far as people doing their thing in the food business like that. But, you know, when I am coming home and back in Oakland, I'm always by the lake. I run the lake. I run the stairs there. And, you know, I'm always seeing Vegan Mob, and I'm proud of it. You know, I see my friend on the side, you know, represents Jacka, and I practice veganism myself, you know, and so I just think it's dope. So, but I'm drawing a blank as far as
you're good. You're good. Yeah.
Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate that, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, Luke, wanted to come to you at the end. Here, I mean, we've heard about a lot of these different food businesses. We've heard like that the rap game's influence on food is real and vice versa. For you, what are like maybe the lessons you would take away from this crossover?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're talking about this sort of Bay Area spirit of hustle, right? At the end of the day is what we're talking about. And I think the rap game and the rap food crossover is an awesome example of that. But I think that spirit really transcends just one genre or one area of business. And I think if we're talking about the Bay Area food scene, you know, if you look at the types of restaurants and food businesses that Alan and I cover in particular, you know, we're often basically profiling businesses that embody that kind of hustle. Mm. You know, I mean, you're talking about like the countless food businesses in the Bay Area that started out grinding on the streets, you know, in their driveways, you know, in all kinds of cobbled together pop-ups, you know, and then some of them eventually graduate from that and open actual restaurants. So I really think that spirit is a big part of what makes the Bay Area such a vibrant and exciting place to eat. You know, it's not just the sort of, you know, kind of trendy established restaurants. It's that there's always this kind of infusion of talent and energy. And then you have folks like Don, like Keba. You have incubators like La Cocina, mm-hmm. That are sort of helping folks who are on their way up make that transition. So I find that really inspiring.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you mentioned La Cocina because my shout out for this was going to be Minnie Bell's Soul Food, you know, food entrepreneur that went through La Cocina now down in Emeryville and is so, so good. We have been talking about the rap game meeting the food game, part of our All You Can Eat series with Luke Tsai, KQED food editor. Thanks, as always, for joining us, Luke.
Thanks so much.
Alan Cesaro. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Can I give one more shout out?
Oh, yeah.
I want to give a shout out to Mystical Mixes. They down on 14th and Franklin. It's a new Jamaican spot. My little brother, it's not my real little brother, but it's a little, you know, little bro in the game. He used to sell sea moss juices to me at Vegan Mob. Now he has his own spot. And he's actually, he does reggae. He like, you know, dancehall, reggae music, which is another form of rap. And he killing the game. Much love to him. He's a young brother out the town. He been here for a long time. About 20 years, came from Jamaica and killing it. Come see him, man.
That was Don Torriano, rapper and owner of Vegan Mob. We've also been joined by Alan Cesaro, food reporter at KQED, and Clyde Carson, Oakland rapper and co-owner of Hypey Juice. Earlier, we were joined by Droop E, E40 Sun. You've been listening to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for another hour of Forum Ahead with Mina Kim. Yeah. You in love with the hoe? No. She bringing you the dough? Yeah. You gonna cry if she leave? No. You gonna fly overseas? Yeah. Funds for the production of KQED's Forum are provided by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the Generosity Foundation, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Heising Simons Foundation. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.